June 13, 2013, FPOM.
So let's try to hold our sidebar conversations once we get going, because the acoustics here are ridiculously poor, I guess, or good.
It's pretty mildly.
All right, sorry for the delay. This is Byrne. This is the FPOM meeting. We're going to get started here, and we'll go around the room for introductions to start off with. Starting with Stancil.
Robert Stancil, Fisheries Commission, Four.
Ann Stevenson, Washington,
D.C. Rick Ferguson, U.S. Embassy, Malta.
Shane Scott, Public Power Council.
Ann Setter, Walla Walla.
Ken Cohn, Walla Walla.
Tom Cordy, Portland, Dallas.
Amir Zindel, John Day.
David Wills, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Trevor Conner, NOAA.
Gary Fredericks, Fish and Wildlife Service.
Scott Benton, BPA.
So I don't know how the acoustics are and the how's this going to come in over on the phone, but those on the phone, who do we have? I know there's Fred, you joined us, and who else?
John Daly.
Hey, John.
Say your name again, please.
Sherry Sears.
Oh, okay, great.
Anybody else? All righty, so everybody has an agenda in front of them. Any issues with the May minutes? If not, I'd like to approve those. Thumbs up here. Okay, consider those approved. Is there anything to add on the agenda?
I have one thing, and we don't have to have a lengthy discussion, but I want people to start thinking about it, and that is McNary sampling effort now that we have no transport.
McNary sampling?
Yeah, S&P sampling effort now that there's no transport.
Okay.
No sampling.
Gary, do you have anything you want to add on to the agenda today? Okay. So let's get right into our action items with Walla Walla's 2.1.
Okay. Ken, I don't know if you wanted to cover the avian task group, but we were asked. I think what we plan to do is just give an update later on what went on at McNary, and then we basically needed to just see who wanted to be on the task group and kind of decide on a path forward. At some point in the future, we'd have a meeting. Right, so people were asked, I believe it was after the May FPOM, you requested that we set up a task, kind of a subcommittee here on avian predation.
Right.
So, you know, I think today maybe we just decide who wants to be on it and kind of kick it down the road for what we want to put together before we have the first meeting.
This afternoon, so.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll just get folks together on it and kind of line out the objectives of what we're trying to do there.
Okay. Okay. So, for those that are here, do we want to, people want to mention whether or not they want to be part of that? Obviously, Gary's wanting to be on it.
Nathan's already.
Okay.
You want to back up, like, Patricia on there?
Yeah.
Patricia Madsen from FFU.
Okay.
I'd like to make sure that David Trackerbar is on that if it can be.
Okay. I think it's an open forum. You can try not to discriminate too much, although it's a little hard sometimes. I know. Yeah, we all carry our own weapons.
If you reach into the table, I'll.
Not to the meetings. Did you
just
say, Dave,
were
you on it?
Well,
don't travel.
What do you think the main goal is going to be?
I think the main task is what, okay, what we don't have with the inland avian group, what we did, and this is something they might call, we separated the avian components of dam, of harassment, hazing, and
habitat?
Yeah, well...
Off-site habitat?
Off-site habitat and the off-site islands, all that belongs to the Inland Avian, but the dam component belongs here in Inland Avian. So everything that we were going to do to address avian predation at the dams was to be here. So wires, harassment, hazing, lethal, all that stuff was supposed to be dealt with in O&M. So that's, I think, we have some issues. And I'd say that the primary objectives of this would be one, to be to make sure that we have adequate, the biome requires adequate hazing protection at each dam. So we want to make sure that we have that at each dam, that we aren't lacking something somewhere. So that's one thing. The other issue, of course, is the lethal removal side of this thing. And that's not canceled from that.
Yeah, so he's going to give you an update on that a little later in the meeting back here in updates. And so the product, or the what I hear is we can go through and talk about all the methodology that's out there and maybe make a suggestion for what's appropriate at each dam, adequate protection.
Yeah. So I'm not saying this is bird wires. This is basically, it's just making sure that we have adequate protection at each dam. Or do we need anything first, and then after that, what would it be?
Okay. So does that satisfy your, and so where are you at? I mean, Fish and Wildlife Service to me should, we should have somebody from Fish and Wildlife. If it's not you, then somebody else should
right,
be.
Right, I agree.
That's fine.
This
let me know.
Absolutely, like all the private bios should be on.
Honestly,
yeah.
I think so.
Right.
At least
to
some degree.
Well, didn't, we're not trying to leave anybody off. Sorry. We need to be quiet here. Just trying to make sure that we got reps too. Yeah.
No, I think that's
because otherwise, be honest with you, in-house, we've had some meetings, and so I think it was about a year ago out at McNary, we had just a small in-house meeting. We went and talked about the 20 possible different things at that point in time,
right.
You know, and so we'll just work through that as this group more broadly, talk about, you know, successes elsewhere, problems, identify them. It'll be a document that then people can kind of get behind where they want to advocate.
Yeah, and it's a subgroup. I mean, it'll come back to the main group at some point with products, so everybody will be involved. But I would expect every project to have to be equally involved either. It's going to be projects that have the biggest issues.
So do we want to have a meeting that's not after one of these so that we're doing it soon? What kind of time frame are we talking about? Are we wanting to kind of push ahead here initially quick, or does it matter? You're saying no?
It's a long-term group. This is a
this is goal. Okay.
Yeah, and I don't see us doing anything different this year. Tricks up his sleeve. I think what I would envision first is going down by dam and looking at the problems that we have and determining whether there is a problem and have to resolve them and go up the river. Look at the data we have and then, you know, those project bios that don't have any issues are probably
you'd find it.
At that point.
Lucky them, huh?
Yeah,
John's getting one.
Yeah, so Carl's probably going to be tapped to be involved for a bit.
That's okay. Carl's actually interested,
yeah,
you know, and he has the other new technology that he would love to see us try there, too. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Remote control helicopters.
This is the stuff they use at airports.
All the sound guns.
Yeah, the infrasound or something. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah, well, he's
a pilot. Yeah.
So why don't you set up a new date down the road, maybe?
I think we'll go out and poll when people, you know, this group here feels like they'll be available.
Have everybody send what they have as far as each project, what's on site, what the issues are, and then set up a meeting.
Is there any value to get someone from the airport to come give a presentation on what they do?
Possibly, if this is some technology that's working and successful.
Yeah, and do you think it's at Portland that they're using it? I'm not sure.
I know they're using it at Portland. I always hear
they
the
are?
Cannons go off.
They
got like
all kinds
that.
Of stuff. But contact someone at the airport and see what they do.
Yeah, it's so good. They do it as well as activation.
Port of Portland.
They've got a guy that's south of Grand Rapids all the time, Jason Burns. So.
Right. He'd probably love to come to a meeting. Deafness, yes.
Especially there was a guy, I think he was like UCD, he was using a combination of like a vehicle with water cannon and noise. That was quite a while back, but I don't know if there's been more experience with things like that, kind of combination.
Okay. ADCP data collection is the next one on here. We did not move ahead with the data point that we had coordinated, I think, three or four times. We did not get consensus from all the parties and the risk of some of the legal commitments that we had and violating those, we decided not to go ahead.
But we do have one more to collect.
We do have one more to collect. I think it's the 30.
30. With spill.
With spill. So it should be easy to get that this year. Flows are going to be dropping off pretty fast here in the Snake River.
Stay there for a long time.
Yeah. So I don't. The other. I'm going to shut up. But the other thing we have tapped, and I didn't put this on the agenda, I did try to get hold of Mike Schneider this week, and we still don't have an updated area temperature model. And so, sorry to. FYI.
Yeah, okay.
Later on. I called him, I got a hold of him. Randy has said he would fund it, and we've had a hard time making progress on that. So I just talked with him last week, but anyway, we're still working it, and we're a little, I guess the reason I'm bringing it up is just the lower flows starting earlier. You'll recall our major issue is if the weather patterns change so that the wind stops for, like, say, more than 3 or 4 days, that's when we have our issue. So
we put that as an action item on the next
agenda.
Area temperature model.
Throw it out there. I hope this year is a
few. I'm doing
it's
the
generally been on a 15-year cycle, you know, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, a little diversion.
Two people, yeah.
It's been pretty hot over there.
Okay.
We had 92 last Friday,
okay.
And it was hot through the weekend.
So we'll just put that as an action item for next FPOM, an update on it?
I think what we want to do is just follow it through time. Yeah, we can maybe give it an update. Sure.
If there's anything
thanks.
In there.
Sorry for what
No, it's fine. Who just joined us? There should be two more people that just joined that haven't identified themselves.
Bill Evelyn is here.
Bill, thanks for calling in. Anybody else? Who are you?
Mystery guest.
I can hit the recall button and it'll tell me.
Dave Sackbar's on the phone. I'm not sure if he caught me earlier.
Oh. Okay. Thanks, Dave.
He's the mysterious one.
That's right. You're on a task group for Avian. So.
You heard me put you on task group, Dave?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
I heard you throw my name out.
Good. You didn't squeal, so that's good.
Okay, so let's go into 2-2 Portland's action items. The first one is placeholder that we'll talk about in October for the pit tag detector at the AFF. So we'll just go on to 222, which is, Dave, your FPOM meeting location potential using an office in July at your site?
Yeah.
Okay.
Betwixt and between, I am thinking I'm going to be gone that week. We would have the normal FPOM meeting.
Okay.
So, I can still set it up for our office, but
no, we'd kind of like to have you there.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We'll find another site.
All right.
And maybe CritFic or
the Dow.
The Dow's West Rick Room or something. And you're not going to be at the next FPOM, correct?
July? Yeah. No, I'm not.
Okay. 223 is the JMF separator bar contract, conditionally subsamples. Tom and Scott, you guys were going to talk. I don't know what came of that. Is there any update on that?
Nothing yet. I was waiting to hear something from FPC.
But they have been contacted by Tom, perhaps?
I don't know. Tom was going to hunt it down, and I was hoping to hear something from him.
You know anything?
The update that I got from Tom was that it's not as simple as it should be, and that FPC will need their work plan or something changed, and with that may be a request for more money At which point I said, but it's not costing us anything now. Why would it cost us something just to get that language added into their work plan?
Contract. So, contracting.
Oh, yes.
So, right now it's with FPC and Critic, or FPAC. Or
yeah, that's one way to hear what they come up.
I was hoping that they would be here.
Our participant has left the conference.
All right, so more to come on that, I guess. Maybe when Tom shows up, I don't know, you know, Tom.
It's only 9:20.
He's going to be on the phone. We're having a barbecue, man. It's food.
It's only 9:25. It's
yeah. Tom, you can get in your car and get out here. Kelp monitoring, you want to just give a quick update? I mean, this is something we're going to work on and bring it back to FPOM, but.
When would you guys like it?
We got time. Before March.
Yeah. And is it for sure it's not going to be part of the contract for someone else to do this? I mean, I volunteer we can do it because of this respect. Either way, somebody can do it. But we'll write a question.
It'll either be part of the contract or it won't.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's pretty simple. It's not going to be rocket science.
Well, it's just going to be the video and then.
Somebody's got to look at it at, what, 16 speeds or something? 8 speeds?
Yeah. It's all done most of the time, but I don't even think we need to go there.
You can just pass the video in my office.
Yeah. If you want.
Throughout this point.
It can be done.
Our participants.
It can be done. They were doing it before, and even faster and easier. So whoever you're doing the contract, the separator part, there's no reason they can't be sitting there the next morning watching the video. We can have a second monitor with a live feed to the separator bar. So if sticks and debris show up, they can run out there and take care of that. So, I mean, it seems simple for us.
It all seems so simple.
Yeah.
Dean and his guys can easily do it, but
right.
I know.
So anyway, yeah.
We have to pay for
it. We'll get it together for you.
All right. So, when you get it, bring it.
We'll do it. Okay, it'll be August, September.
Sounds good. Somebody just join us on the phone?
It's John again. I got disconnected and had to reconnect.
All right. Thanks, John. That leads us into action items completed. We'll talk later. We skipped that part. To updates. Walla Walla's updates. Debris spill at McNary.
I thought maybe we could jump to actually have Gary Trachtenberg with an update on how the studies go on for the evaluation of the overflow wear, low granite, and the 14-inch orifice. Dave?
Hey, again. I just was going to ask to give a quick update at least on the overflow wear. I'll keep it brief at this point. Things are moving along. We're done with steelhead pegging and earring pegging. They're working on data summaries for that right now. We're, I think, half or over halfway done with sub-earring tagging on it. I didn't prepare any actual preliminary data reports yet, since that is still very preliminary on it. Kind of big picture, it's looking interesting in that there are some different trends between the three groups, but plus line for four groups. That is forthcoming. We did have a bit, I'm not sure if Dan or Ken, if you guys have sent it out yet, East Davis did have a bit of a accident oops on Monday evening. They got left open on the bar to cover the recovery tank, and they had 98 subs jump out onto the ground. So there's a MFR coming out on that. It hasn't gotten sent yet. No. Otherwise, things are moving along with it. No, I don't know if anybody has any specific questions or anything.
So when's your summary of data? I think that's why we thought you were calling in.
No, man. At this point, we're going to have we're just looking back at my notes. We're going to send out a summary here, hopefully this week or early next week, have a call for at least summary of Lanfrey data. But, no, we're not as far along with summary data yet as I was hoping to be at this point. So, no, don't want to share too much yet. I believe UC Davis group's got a chance to today or tomorrow.
Hey, David, this is Scott Budden. I had a follow-on question from last meeting as to how many 14-inch openings we can run and still use the existing channel.
That's 1 to 2. Essentially, 2 is about our maximum that we can run, which is why we limited the prototype testing to 4 structures, but essentially running 2 of the 4 prototype structures at any given time. So that's the capacity limitation at the
downfall. Okay. Hey, David, this is Bill Devlin. You said you're halfway done with the sub-yearling, so is that, how many more weeks are you going to need to continue the passage test?
We are at somewhere between the end of next week and the 28th or 30th. They will definitely be done by the 30th, but they're maybe done as early as the end of next week, depending on how numbers are looking.
Okay.
They're having an easier time seeing fish from Doug Marsh, so that Fred doesn't have to pop the sample rate. And then Doug's done, I think, with the seasonal effects work the end of tomorrow, maybe or the 15th. So then it's a matter of how long it takes the rest of their fish next week. After.
Okay. Will the lamprey test be done by the 30th also?
Yeah, and actually the lamprey stuff is done now. We essentially cut it off, I think, on like the first or second. Essentially, that's when we stopped seeing significant numbers of lamprey coming through. So essentially, yes, what's my notes here? We think we've got about, I don't have my summary table in front of me, we've got about 1,500 or 1,600 total lamprey tag and released. That's what you see. It's working on for me right now is a summary table of all the passage metrics and tagging and whatnot of lamprey, so I can send that out to the group. That essentially finished around the first month, and then we're just going to query about some downstream passage and detection efficiencies downstream.
Okay, and are you still planning on putting some fall Chinook adults up in the channel or in the gatewells?
At this point, this fall, likely no, but something we want to talk about, say, for next year.
Okay.
No, that's part of next year's study. But that's just, unfortunately, kind of a contract people just to go on.
Okay, so there'll be no actual adult tag use study, but you are taking a video of adults.
Yeah. So we'll have some video analysis of passage of adults, and then or on the SOWG side, yes, we're talking for implants for adult as part of next year's second year study.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Sounds like it, so we're ready to have a still then.
Yeah. As you know, McNary had some debris in the Fort Bay in the last month, had to coordinate some debris spills. So they had did some rolling of the units on May 21st to push the debris, to get the debris out in front of the powerhouse, get it from the spill. And they got rid of about 95% of the debris at that time. From the powerhouse. There's still a large amount of debris in the spillway at that time, so they coordinated that second coordination form for the spillway, and that was done on June 6th, between 9 and 11 a.m. And they opened just about every other spillway up, sometimes 2 at a time, and they managed to get all the material out in front of the spillway. So it worked out pretty well. There's still some fine debris in front of the powerhouse, and I think that's they didn't want to roll any units to get rid of that because it kind of draws the stuff from the facility, so they didn't want to take a chance and plug up their screens and all that.
TSWs came out Monday. The next one is the boat safety video. If anybody has any comments. And that took place last Thursday. it turned out to be an in-house video, so they are going to at some point put it up on YouTube. And they were actually, it was really interesting, you can imagine, with the core trying to do something like this. When we got started getting comments about putting a dummy in it, it was immediately no, but they were able to put a couple dummies in it and stuff like that. So it may be interesting to...
What'd they call them, something else?
I don't know. Potato bags? It was right after the last day before they could really do it, you know, get all the approvals and stuff, but they were able to do it. And I guess the boat broke up and the dummies...
Stayed in
to the bottom. And so, yeah, it might be kind of interesting, you know, just to understand how it works, so...
Was
Mythbusters
there?
Pardon me?
Mythbusters, yeah. Get Jamie out there.
That's the G-Force.
Yes.
Did Buster live?
Yes, he died.
So you're going to bring the video next time?
So I will, when we get a link to it, I'll forward it to
the camera on the boats.
They actually had it on one of the dummies.
All right. Yeah. So how do you plan on making that publicly available?
YouTube.
I think it is how the PAO, you know, our Public Affairs Office, takes care of that. But in general, that is how they do it. And it's part of the water safety program that Natural Resources has.
But will there be like signs, like go to YouTube and check out this video?
If you leak that it's real, that would go viral.
Yeah, you have to go viral somehow.
Yeah, good point. I don't know. I guess we'll
look. Whole bunch of boat booms next year.
I don't know what to say. I did ask Monday, you know, when it was going to be available, knowing that I should be given an update here, and they said, well, they still were doing a little bit of editing, so it sounded like it was another week or two or something like that. Yeah.
You said that they had different voiceovers for the dummies.
Yeah, they had the dummy around the chest. Yeah, so I don't, you know, want to see what footage they
used. Which direction
he was pointing. They were shooting over here on the nav block or that area. Yeah, I think that might have been what they mentioned. Yeah. So I, you know, I'm not sure.
So we can put it on the GoPro website.
Yeah.
Seem techy here, but
what is the purpose of this whole
thing? Anyway, hopefully it'll be entertaining.
To get people informed, I guess,
how dangerous it is.
It is. You know, even though they've, like in our harbor, I think they put the boat barrier in. There was an incident last year at McNary where they had somebody that had intoxicated and got in before the operator even knew it inside the BRZ. The sheriff, somebody called the sheriff came in, but they didn't even know it was there. They were both right up.
The sheriff didn't.
Yeah, and they ended up right up against the face of the dam over by the spillways, which was a safer area, but...
When was this? Was this
a year ago?
TSW was after TSWs were running?
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
Yeah,
lucky.
So,
Is there a waterfall here?
Only when you're on the other side of it, you know.
Yeah, so anyway.
Well, we look forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
So once you get it, send it out.
Those grease spills for the spillway, were they half-gate? Did you use the leaf, or did you spill from the bottom?
I believe that they were using the top, although... Ken would probably be the one that got the latest information. You know, the issue there is that as soon as we pull the TSWs out, we start building up debris the last two or 3 years. And so the concern was, before we pull the TSWs, let's get everything as cleaned up as we can.
Right.
So they were pretty comfortable.
So Gary Moore, what they did is something, they shut some of the gates with 21 and 22.
Yeah.
Or 20 and 21. Mm-hmm. And so that made the flow go over and go over the TSW.
Okay.
They were manipulating.
That wasn't the debris that was in front of the spillway, was it?
I think they worked it in front of the spillway. Weren't they going to open for like a second or two, a spillway, then close it?
Well, that never happens. A second.
Well, this is the hilarious. Well,
they don't have the fast gears.
Yeah, they split them, but I just didn't know if they said every other one, so that wasn't just the TSW. They have to do every other one, that's to get rid of the four bay, the debris in the spillway.
Yeah, it's to gradually move it over towards where the TSWs were.
Well, does that actually move? I mean, what is it doing?
I think if you're doing top spill over a split,
it's just going to go.
I think so. They increase the flow.
It just goes.
I actually didn't get out there. I would have liked to.
Probably because the BPA would say we can't do them all at once. and maybe don't want them all at once. You do them one at a time, or whatever the reason for that.
Right. They had a sequence of what they were doing. They weren't really sharing it.
I don't quite understand that. Yeah, right. That's what I'm trying to get
so
at.
So if we can get an update for this.
You can have a good thing to watch something.
Yeah.
In the long run, what we'd like to do is put it in there, and the FPP has a standard thing to do with at the end of the year, before you take TSWs out, do this to get the bulk of the debris by it.
Be good.
Because it's been a real pain.
Yeah, it sounds like open air with a scope at one at a time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they did two at a time.
That's to get rid of the stuff.
Well, they're going to remove it. They don't hold any rolled units. They're removing the debris mat over, and then they started doing that with the spillways too to keep it moving.
See, that's
Trevor, this one they did roll
the
units.
They did roll the
units
because
there was no debris.
Right, it's essentially the same concept.
It is the same concept.
Correct.
They're pulling the debris over the sideways, essentially.
But no units.
Well, they have a debris boom at the top that they're using to pull it as well, so it's hooked into a crane. The debris boom is pulling it along, so it's moving along, pulling this along. So I agree, it would be interesting to see that it's something. See, they developed that because they couldn't really use a boat from a safety standpoint over there.
I
understand that, So
I would just think that if they're going to try to use gates, half of them should be able to pull right there.
Yes.
It's. I believe it's largely floating debris. It's not so much submerged debris, so that's why they were thinking.
Way on top.
Yeah.
I know in the past Carl mentioned that they'll do when they do this the top split whatever it does work for getting free pass and I'm not sure if they actually utilize that method this time.
Yeah. Now I remember talking about it somewhere a month or so ago and he was talking about Carl was on the phone maybe his last meeting, I don't know, but doing a split if I can just that would just send it through right there in the spot rather than have to worry about sliding all the way down to the TSWs. Whatever works.
Works great if we used to do it all the time.
Yeah.
In the Hurston era.
Yeah, I think the
TSWs, that was the
split leaf or the baby TSW. Yeah.
I think the TSWs actually give us a little bit more water cushion than the split leaf does.
No, they do, but debris removal, split them in half is a good idea.
Yeah.
If you're just trying to get rid of it, it's
for debris, it doesn't matter.
A 1 second operation.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Is there something in place where they warn the downstream dams? Like call John Day?
We've tried that in the past.
Here it comes.
But it never showed up. I mean, because the last couple of years it had to do that, or it just doesn't make it there.
A lot of beavers in that 76 miles.
A lot of beavers and people that snag it, tow it ashore and cut it up.
But it doesn't show up down there.
They do in Tillamook. There's no wood that goes to the ocean in Tillamook.
Yeah.
It all gets cut.
Firewood,
All right. Anything else on that?
No.
And you already did AACP.
Yeah.
Are you planning to do a change form, though? Or writing something up so it's sort of standard practice to get this done?
Well, I think we'll talk with the project. In the past, McNary doesn't mind if we put something general in there. I think they would like to have the ability, when this takes place, to have it covered in there. The sequence that they use, they're going to be nervous about because that seems to change every year. So if we just have the ability to say, okay, we have this build up, and before we pull the TSWs, we'd like to manipulate and go across. I think we could probably get something like that in there.
That'd be great. Timothy would like to not have to...
Before we pull them or something, not have to coordinate. Yeah,
they don't want to have to go to FPOM to do this, make it standard practice.
Yeah, boy. It's not even just McNair. Everyone would like to do all kinds of things without going to
FPOM. I'm not going to go there, right? Unless we say, here's how you do it, then I would like to have them come to FPOM and talk about how we do it.
Yeah.
But
let's get to the point where it becomes a standard.
Sure, say, okay, this time of the year, just put the TSWs come out, we're going to do this. Then we'll just have that.
Okay.
Before you move off of McNary, do you have an update on the entrance rear wheel replacement and how that went?
Yeah, I can tell you about that. I think that what they found was that didn't solve their problem. And so Carl had this idea that it was floating through engineering. And I asked him why he couldn't just use this you know, this high molecular weight plastic stuff and put those strips in the guides, but, well, that would take divers and etc. So right now, Carl has his own thought, but the problem is that in the concrete walls that are inside these guides, that these little wheels are actually catching.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they, right now, I think in the last weekly, you'll notice that we still have some cables that are loose from time to time. Has to do, you know, a little bit with the flow and getting them down, obviously coming out versus a spillway and stuff like that. They do think that they're in the appropriate position, but there does seem to be enough movement there that we do catch still a little bit. So it's ongoing. I think maybe we just give you an update when we know a little bit more. It's being done at the project level. Their technical engineering group on site is looking at kind of what Carl's proposed versus their own ideas of how to resolve it. I don't think anything will be done until winter work window.
I was going to say, I think we're getting out of the time and we won't have anybody down there working on it as long as it's not an emergency.
It doesn't seem to be, because, you know, they came out like, well, we don't know if these are midstream, where they are, we got to do this right now, and that kind of stuff. And then when they got into it and saw, then they realized, we think we're in the ballpark where we should be. We're really, you know, we're probably there. We can't verify because we're getting this loose, you know, cable in spots there. I think it's both one of the south entrances as well as one of the north powerhouse entrances where the problems are. And so it's just kind of flow patterns, et cetera.
Can we get maybe a more detailed engineering update at Option Creek, maybe?
I don't know. This isn't running through the Fitterway channels right now, since it's being done out on project. But what we can do is ask for an update when the project comes up with where they what they think they're going to propose to do.
Whatever, just more details.
Sure.
They were just hanging up with the guy. That was the problem.
That appears to be the problem. And so they replaced them with UHMW wheels, thinking that that would be great and things would likely be good. But in fact, what they think now is that the wheels are just catching in some of the places where the cement, you know,
so the
aggregate.
The guys that can be replaced probably.
The guys are worn pretty bad.
Apparently, yeah, there's a lot of indents and, yeah.
So that's a
pretty bad stainless steel on the wheels and then mild steel on the guides, and the guys are just getting chewed up. So we're gonna try that plastic stuff too. We have one wheel with plastic wheels right now.
Is yours working better once you put the plastic wheels on? Because I guess that was...
Well, they weren't really hanging up. We just noticed that we were seeing this excessive wear in the guides. So we're trying to get ahead of that.
But you haven't put the plastic on.
We have one wheel with plastic on right now. Yeah.
So Lomo on their North Fishway had gone through and put the UHMW wheels on when they kind of did a little bit of a rehab, and their stuff was looking really good. They were really happy with it, which is, I think, why McNary tried it. But then McNary, here we are in season trying to do something because we see slack cables, and really it's an off-season type of event. So.
Yeah, and really fairly extensive that they have to replace those guides now. So that's
so I like the guide. It should be the stainless steel and the wheels and plastic. Because they're easier to change.
You replace the wheels,
They kind of got it backwards.
Yeah, we're just trying to get a little more life out of the guides. We're about halfway down now.
But it seems like the flaw was that we should make the guides really stout and then replace wheels. So it's easier to do that.
So we will get in. We plan to get an update as soon as we can. I'm not exactly sure how fast engineering there is. Anyway, we'll give an update. We'll either pass it next time, or we'll say next time.
Sometime
in the future.
True,
right. Yeah, we'll have it out there.
Because we may end up in a situation where you're dealing with.
Let's see where they're headed.
I want to make sure it works too. What I don't want to do is end up next April or May and, you know, it's not working, oh my gosh, you know, we want to fix it. So
this,
we're not getting the right attention on it. Then we can do that.
Well, actually, one of the things that's going to happen is for McNary, those fishways are going to become kind of high profile, I think, for the district here as we move into future endeavors and look at budget needs, et cetera. Fishways are pretty old. We have a lot of portions that are pretty dysfunctional, and they are hoping next year to do some dewatering of some areas that they haven't in a while and get in there either with divers or cameras and really start to put together a scope of all the needs and where we really have deficiencies, failures, etc. And so then, you know, we'll be trying to move forward to see what kind of resources we can put to it to kind of get it back into reliable condition, if you will. So.
Yeah.
So this is just kind of a small part of a bigger issue, and even though they're looking at it as a small part right now, it may or may not stay a small part. It may just become one portion of the bigger, because the OPM out there kind of sees the need for both fishways and some of the issues that we have out there for us to be kind of aggressively moving to make sure that we can maintain reliability there. And so, anyway. So we'll put it out for an update and see where we can get sometime in the not too distant future with an update.
Any other questions on McNary? Portland updates 3.2. Looks like Bonneville's got a lot of things to report on here, Ben.
Great.
Take it away.
Dewatering plans, we haven't done much with them, but we're losing one employee starting Monday. He's going to be out here on Sunday, so I'm going to have him work on those because he won't be really engaged with other.
I've joined the conference.
It shouldn't take that long, actually. We have it all, it's just not in a very friendly format. Unit 8, return to service testing, I'm not sure where that's done. It occurred not long after the last FPOM. It took a little less time than anticipated. I think I talked about 3 days, then I think they did it in two. Tail log needs is an ongoing issue. This came up just recently, and it's not going to go away, but we've got two sets, one that are indefinitely in Unit 11, and one that's being used for our digital governor replacement. So 16 is down to return to service next week. It was originally going to jump to 13, but they have an oil leak issue and a servo of 12, so they're bumping 12 up. In part because it's degrading and getting to be a worse oil leak, and in light of the fact that we're being sued for knowingly discharging oil, it's a big deal.
Yeah, that's going to be worse for the water contractor.
It will, absolutely. It was scheduled last intentionally, this would have been in February. Now it's going to be issued back 11 to 12. I expressed that concern, but it's not really,
you know,
we can't do much about
it. I
can sue that
all.
Yeah, they sued that company.
It's also going to be
the bottom band as well.
Multiple
things.
So the issue there is 16, which is coming back, like I said, next week, also has, it came out for four-year overhaul as well as digital government replacement. When the air gap measurements were taken there, there's concern, serious concern about rotor misalignments, kind of like car house to store in general. So the guidance from downtown was take it out as soon as feasible. We couldn't extend the outage now without bumping into the digital vendor contract, which nobody wants to do apparently. So what they want to do is potentially pull tail logs out of 11, put them into 16, but that leaves 11 open for 2 to 3 weeks, and then put tail logs back in 11 with no means to flush fish, which means an unknown fish impact. So
we should just leave it open as a sanctuary.
Yeah. It's got to use it for something.
Yeah, we could just have it as a dedicated fish sanctuary.
Well, when do you think 11 will actually be fine? Shouldn't we just leave them out? If we're going to take them out, just leave them out until...
But I think they need them in for the work they're doing. Okay. So that's the issue.
Oh, okay.
So then it came down to, you know, who owns the funds to with the fish concerns of 11 or keeping digital governor on schedule. And I don't know who decides that, but that's what they're looking at. What they decided in the short term is because the measurements they took on 16 were a snapshot air gap, it doesn't look good, and really by the measurement should be forced out. They don't know that it's not been that way for 10 years. So they want to wait till it comes back next week, test it. Air gap is permanently installed in this unit now, it's just now during the outage. So then they'll be able to get dynamic measurements and see if it gets worse, better, stay the same, whatever. And they'll make a call. What they'd like to do is run it until September and take it out then. And then there's talk if the Washington Shore Land Trust stuff comes to fruition and they ask for an outage in November, then we just limp along until then. They're likely to be asking for unit outages, and then we could just do it and not have any issue on that. We don't really know what direction we're going to go.
It shouldn't be a problem in September either.
But when you turn it on, you want to leave it on, don't you?
Yes.
You turn it on and off on it.
Well, what they'd like to do, and when it comes back, is have it as last on, first off. Which I was not going to do for 16.
Well, never be on.
Yeah.
Which is the perfect error.
It depends on what unit clutter we're running. If we're running second car out, so you would turn it on. But
right.
Do we want to make it last on for the whole powerhouse? You know, skip over and go to one first and then come back to it. That's the way it comes around.
It's done that.
So on a more.
But do we want to change the unit priority? 16, the bottom period. You go right to the second powerhouse and you go to first powerhouse. But at 16, you would put after.
Yeah, well, just the unit measurement.
Oh, we can get that part.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll take them long once they bring it back.
Just well, obviously, they want to see how it wears over time, too.
They might, and I could get the information on how long they need it to run when they bring it back. But if they push it till September, as opposed to taking advantage of November, I think we don't have any problem the same. It's probably worse, actually, for us as far as getting pushed into 11 in September than it is now. So, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, November, maybe.
Once we figure it out. So when you figure this out, you're going to put a coordination form in?
Yes.
And
then
or moving that contract.
Right.
Yeah. If you do it now, you're less likely to get surgery. It seems later we wait, but
right.
More
recycling. And it gets more complicated if we were to do it now with unit 12 out of the two units out, more likely than we did. Anyway. The solution for us is we need more tech.
Yeah.
I got one set of power to do. Is there something else that can be used for stop block as far as people fish on? Is there anything else you can put in there?
No, I don't think so. Not that I know of. I mean, that's a discussion we've had for a while. Is there something light that it's not necessarily
can't take the time.
Okay. Not cold water back, but there
no, okay. Keep a chamber fence.
My contact Smith Roof just to see if they've got anything they can design, you know, their like barriers.
What year? This again?
That's what we've been talking about for a while. I got to see it on all the back tubes. I mean, it's just, yeah. It solves all these problems, does away with outages in general.
But they might, they actually might have a fence they were using in Australia that would be electrified that might keep things away. So they may actually have a product that we can use. Yeah.
So I'll get back with the information on 60 once it's run a little bit.
Okay.
But it's the same problem, and it's, you know, 13 and 15 are the same as far as how far out of proper alignment they are, and we're running down. So they just want to make sure when they bring it back online it doesn't get worse, because it's way beyond what it should be at surface at the moment.
So that's kind of a common problem across the board. Digital governor, or that's something that's the contract.
Yes.
So really what are we looking at balancing here is the Sturgeon getting into 11 and having to salvage versus slipping the contract. Is there any, what's the cost of switch?
I don't know. All I know the guidance we got was take out as soon as possible and try not to impact the digital governor contract. Which of course makes sense.
Take out 16 of them.
Yeah, 16.
So that means you're going to have to take 11 and deal with 11 as a Sturgeon
recovery.
Or push back that digital government.
Right.
So that's the question.
right. impact here? Do people, the Sturgeon folks, want to push back on that or just go ahead and have a national
project? The Sturgeon thing is a big deal. They're pushing, they're completely closing the season next year.
And it gets to the point where, with no ability to flush whatsoever, we're left with whatever we get. It's a crapshoot, and if we get big fish in, we're actually working on that means to get them out. So when that passes, we pull the tail off and try to flush them again and drop them as quick as we can again, but we don't
know. You can't run. Yeah, you can't spend.
So it's stuck, and if they're too big to get out.
How do you
used to have this really big newbie climb up the stairs with my back. That was before my first adventure. Yeah. That was before I grew.
That's, I mean, we do that in power swimming, climb up a ladder with my back, right. But I can't do that with 10-foot stairs. So, and we don't have a ladder over there. It's actually a hoist. It's just a chair. Like a chair over wire.
Chair lift. Yeah, so you're going to hold it in your lap as you go up?
Right.
It's just not...
It's not
no, you're going to tie it off and hoist it out.
How big can you get out?
We can get out probably 6 footers, 7 footers.
Okay.
But once they get bigger than that, it's just
they're, not they're, yeah, leaving them in there.
And we've done that on short term where we pull the tail off on Thursdays and let them have an opportunity to break that. And, but I mean, with 11s,
so right, yeah, they're well, they'll leave when they're hungry.
So you may have to feed them in there.
Start seal bombs.
Part of the hatchery, you know, over and watch for the roosters.
Yeah, something can drop in there.
Get out of there.
Scare them.
That's something I haven't tried. It's acoustics.
You take your rifle and you point it like.
How do you do that?
Well, that's a good trick to show.
All right, well, report back once you get that information.
Okay.
And the 12 outage is just an update that it's getting bumped up to be less good for fish because of the oil issue.
Yeah, so what's the information we're getting here then? Is it going to be cost of the contract?
Looking at the contract, looking at the trade-off between contract, delay, cost, and taking the stop logs out of 11. Really.
Fish cost and how do you figure that?
Right.
I mean, that
Is
there's going to have to be a call at some point, I would think, the management agencies in Oregon, Washington, and Fish and Wildlife Service need to weigh in and say, we're okay with the risk or not. And if you're okay with the risk, then the bathroom is pretty clear. Somebody's going to say something.
Yeah, I can get a summary from these notes and put something together and ship them around my.
I'd wait until we have the MSC, though, with more of the details, not necessarily from the FPOM notes.
What, I mean, what is your estimate based on history of what might be in there? I mean, given the time of year, given any experience you guys have had in the past of having to do this, do you expect probably not many fish, medium numbers of fish, probably not lots of fish. I mean, just to give a... the experienced estimate that these guys could use to make their judgment call on. I think it's a minor risk, you know, that you could, it could be easier yourself for you than if you thought it was, you know, I mean, it's not a pepper, so that's a good thing.
No, it is a good thing, but I think it's a significant risk for the duration.
Could be some big guys in
there. It could be a guy who's got a lot of time to get in there, even though they're not doing their wintertime aggregation. Two min units are out, so that whole side is.
So what we do is we get a stellar sea lion, we train them, get all the sturgeon out of there, maybe just put some stellar squeezins right into the...
Essence of stellar.
Wherever they fall out at, you go out there and scoop some of that stuff up.
Where do you miss that
one? Run it right through the unit, that'll scare every sturgeon all the way to the story. Maybe not.
That'd be five.
Yeah. I mean, I think that much. I mean, they're pretty good at smelling.
Let's borrow their guts.
What's your market?
Yeah. Sturgeon's telling.
Sturgeon be gone.
It's worth a try.
Yeah. I mean, it's just rather than just going.
Ben, I think you should pursue that, and you might even like find it's effective, and you can get an award.
Well,
share it with
Yeah.
I'd like to see that real talk.
I'll write it up. I'll write it up for you.
There you go.
It's Thursday. Then we'll put it on you and come in the meeting and put it on.
Okay. I'll report back on 16 as soon as I get more info. LED testing, this was really just a follow-up to John Day's stuff. I don't remember how many F-bombs we talked about putting in the TSM. So we're going to, ideally what we want to do is take advantage of the already dewatered gate well and do the testing in there. Then we thought, well, ideally it would be good to do one watered up if we could, but that we have not been able to find at least one that we can borrow instead of have to purchase underwater light meters.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit in February, John Versich from the, and the impression I got was that we were going to use the video frame
That was the plan for us, positioning, but the people that we know that have them were Vitel, who have the meter and the cable and not the readout portion, which was pretty worthless.
Yeah.
So we put it in place and not get them. So, I mean, we have a meter, we could try to rig up something to make it watertight and put it down in the same way. Or we could
try
this.
Just do it.
I mean, it's still going to be your relative.
As long as we get a relative, if we get what is it, lumens or candelabra or whatever.
Lumens or lux or whatever.
Lux, they're similar.
Yep.
Or brighter from the LEDs than that.
And what if they, this is the question that I think is going to probably come up, they're going to say they come back equivalent, there's still this range identified by some of these studies that say, I think it was Patel actually, in another. So this is the range it should be in, it's showing to help evacuate it from the gate well. I think if we've fallen far below that forever.
Yep.
Are we going to try to move into that range?
No.
Or
that's okay. The next step.
No, that's the next step. For now, you just get... the way I see the goal is to get a cheaper, longer-lasting light source in there that's similar to what we have. Leave it at that.
That's for the next couple years.
Yeah, when we get the Orifice contract, to get that...
Because that was going to be a lot more complicated. Those still bulbs now are 40-something bucks. We try to get up in the brain. So they're talking about the kind of astronomical.
I'm trying to just do the thing that you have out there.
Okay.
Let's just go with that.
So we should be able to, but I'm assuming this is the best we're going to do it at night, just to make it.
Yeah.
We'll do that as soon as we can. Yeah. We'll do it on 12, like when they take 12 down next week, they'll just drive the vehicle. Specific to this, too.
Yeah. Otherwise, okay.
Hey, Bert, it's Tom Morris.
Yeah.
Can we get an update next month on where we are with Unit 11? Since it seems like we've been floundering around for a while, and we're going to have 12 go out, 16 might go out. It'd be kind of nice to know what the long term scoop is on 11.
Sure.
And can we get a bid from, I don't know, Wasco County, how much they charge to put a turbine in?
Be free, what do you mean?
They probably do it for free. They actually might have enough work there for a couple of years.
That sounded like black humor to me.
Turbines are us, right?
As long as we can get a turbine in it, it'll last more than a couple of years.
We could probably go to Best Buy and get one.
That they branched out.
All right. Any other comments?
Comments are not helpful ones.
Well, Tom, I'm glad you could join us on the phone.
Some of us have things to do at the good meetings all the time.
So, before we move on, do you have anything to report, Tom, about the condition sampling in the Fish Passage Center?
We have rolled that around. There is discussions among FTC about talking to the EPA. I have not heard back if they've done that yet. I will bring that up at the next FPAC meeting and find out if that has moved forward at all. The big question is going to be that there is some... I'm sure someone's going to say this is going to take some level of cost. going to bear the additional cost. That's going to be a BPS board discussion. I'll let you guys. And so I don't know how you guys want to play with.
What else are they going to do for those 8 hours?
Tammy, it's an extra task and a task order. I'm sure someone's going to want some funds from it. I'm just, once again, there's a reason I'm on the phone. So you can't kill the messenger. So I'm just saying that's what I'm hearing back.
I don't think we should let him off very easy because he loves to kill the messenger when he's at the meeting.
It's actually, I suppose, not his problem.
He's just, he
does. It's not my problem. I've got other problems coming up.
All right. Well,
I think that's how I can
find out where they are in negotiation discussion.
Okay.
This is back to your contract, Lowe's. Is that where this
Well, that leads into the next one is the contract. We're still developing the contract for the JMF separator bar.
But we're moving forward with just the separator bar monitoring, not the
without condition sampling.
Or kelp monitoring.
So.
Have you decided if it's going to be small business set aside or what type of contract it's going to be here?
We don't have any. We just did the preliminary paperwork to get approval.
It's got to go through our contracting officer and make that determination. So, more to come.
Do you know when they're going to make that decision?
They would. Won't they go out for information to see who's interested?
Yeah, they'll do
so that'll be the.
The first step will. Do a search market survey.
Yep.
We'll keep you posted in when that goes, and then based on
so
that,
if you,
make
if you know people that are interested, that's the time to throw something in the hat.
Yeah.
I mean, be it you or whomever, you know, that's the time to say, hey, yeah, we'd be interested in this work. Because, like, wait until later after they've gone through step one and made a decision, it's too late to go back. That's legal contracting these days. Yeah.
So let's talk about the shad fishery. What's the latest there, Bob?
It sounds like Yakima can't get enough bait for their surgical broodstock fishery, so they might have to line some shad.
Come on down.
Yes. Yeah, there
is. Holy cow.
So this isn't a commercial fishery.
It doesn't sound like it, although there's not many details in email that I got anyways, and I asked Roger Dick from the Yakima to give some detail as to where, when, exactly, because they I got secondhand that they were just interested in going along the riprap just upstream of the east exit.
They went by ones or dead ones?
Why don't you drive your boat around and come to the AFF to get any yet? And that was
that push.
I think. Aren't your guys going to hand them over to them here soon?
Yeah, I think approval's not going to be the way. You know, we'll scrape all the dead shot that
line. Yeah, they should have no shortage.
No. They should have gotten their paperwork in earlier than they could have been doing it for the last 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah.
So,
I think that probably at least a couple of weeks of 100,000 plus days to go yet.
I think John's got to clean them off trash bags, pull them out of the barrel pool, and just throw them in the freezer, and then bags them. Okay, I'll mention that too.
How many do they need?
A lot easier.
How many do they need?
Well, no. They just basically sent me an email saying they wanted to come get some bait, and here's our approval.
So Oregon and Washington probably tell you what their limits are going to be up on the mid-sea for how many they can catch, and it's just a matter of how effective they're, how many times they got to break their hooks to get.
How much strength.
Yeah. Because they're probably just putting on set lines, right?
Anyways, I'm waiting on more information on it. So, but I'll give them that.
Yeah, because that's not going to take all the shed you want.
Yeah.
It's just freezer space.
I think it was just turned out again.
Is John giving you an update on
that? It's not on that
way. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's, you know, when it comes to potential sound things, look at my ideas and stuff.
And
may not need to be much of an update since there's the
right.
Special socket.
That was a second hand that, so I didn't get anything from Roger on that as far as anything else.
Yeah, that's all they want is GI bodies.
More to come.
So yeah, in the case that they want to do commercial fishery, I think you've got to find a place to do that if you want to do that. You've got limits and fallback criteria and things like that.
Yeah.
So I really didn't see any issue there. I'm surprised with the rod that they don't. I mean, it looks like a 3 million maybe. I don't know where we're at today. The trajectory was towards a 3 million run this year. So.
Yeah, they're stacked.
Yeah,
it works. It's the new counters. The new counters that are not a couch.
Yeah, that's it. I know, I got pictures of
the Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, so for perspective, you had 220,000 that went over yesterday.
220, so it's back over
2003 days.
Yeah, I didn't know.
For 200.
Fishing's good.
It's 2.1 million.
That's what we should be barbecuing today.
Yeah. Stern. Yeah. Nice bony, bony shed.
Got a good recipe. Good recipe.
Chips. Shed chips.
All right, well, let's move on to research updates. The first one is the Bonneville turbine reduction device. John, I don't think, are you on the phone? If not, there's really not much to report, except it wasn't that successful.
And they rescue piece.
AFF modifications, Ann's here. She has an attachment in your agenda for the state of Washington's AFF mods.
So just kind of a little brief slash background. The community of DFW has been connected with some studies related to mortality related to the altitude gear project, and this is the third year of that study in the last couple of years in operating, collecting, using the AFF as a control for that project. And this year, U of I is also taking fish in there, as well as Critic as usual, and so they're both operating in there now, and then in about the middle of August, when we started back up with our tagging. And so just sort of some logistics that need to be worked out in terms of the use of the space, just so everybody can do what they need to do there. At that time of year, U of I will only be getting a steelhead, and we'll be taking cargo motion up in steelhead. And, as it's set up now, these guys can kind of maybe give some corrections or updates when I'm finished here, but Critic operates at the east end of the building, there's a tank there, and so where WFW is operating on the side of the building, there's another small set of tank. And where U of I is currently set up, there really isn't room for to have the management sitting on the floor of the AFF. So what they suggest is if I can move the tank up to the next level and then put the fish in the tank there and the tank is lowered back down and then trucked out. And since we use the same release size, we basically can be putting the fish in the same tank or tanks. And so the project looked at whether or not that
has left the conference.
Safe to have the tank at that location. That was determined to be okay. And then U of I has been kind of experimenting with ways to get fish efficiently into the tank. And the latest effort, I didn't have the most recent photos that were taken by Brian, but there's some concern about the way things are tied off is not. Doesn't really meet safety requirements, so next step is maybe looking at using a small crane to get the fish from the bottom of the end of the tank on the next level.
I talked to Steve Lee Friday about that. He didn't like that idea. He was slinking them up the ladder or up the
just joking. Yes, there's different, so we're going to have different options to get the fish from the SFA tank in the transport. And either way, the fish are being handled, they're just trying to, you know, reduce any impacts as need be. But,
well, the issue is you're taking fish that are under anesthesia, putting them in the sling, and getting them up, 10 feet to a holding tank. And the issue is, you know, normally they would be handled and moved just about that far. Now you're taking them in the sling, running them up the stairs, and then putting them in, or hooking them onto a hoist and taking them up. I was watching Steve do it. It took him maybe a minute to run up and drop the, and then put the fish in the tank. Thereabouts. Once he's gotten, they do their work. Fish is out of water that time, and they slide in the sling. And he runs up the stairs and down and puts them into the tank. So, and I mean, it's extra time that the fish is out of water. But it is under anesthesia at the time, so it's... The only thing I would say is that your studies that you've done before didn't use that. So now you're adding another stressor, however small, to the study, the controls, or whatever, whoever's doing this, Idaho or you guys, are adding another component to the study that wasn't in other parts of the study, the previous studies. So, you know, how much does that affect the outcome, the comparability? And usually you don't want to change things.
I think there's some other, I'm not sure how long you guys have been using the RBS, but this is the first shoot that we have to be using. I mean, we will be monitoring the fish as part of that as well.
But it's
cold. It's another factor.
It's the same thing. I mean, you're just using chlorine. It's more purified.
So why can't we have the tank down on the floor?
10% worse.
Just the space issue.
10%.
But it's still the same stuff. Should have same results. So I wouldn't call that a change, but this handling difference is a change, so you need to consider that. That's all I'm saying. I don't think that it's, it's probably a little bit more of an impact on the fish just because of the time out of water that they've got to go, up there, but they are under anesthesia, so it shouldn't be a problem.
I think they made a change too since you saw that in the area, and that's what Anne was referencing with the safety component. Instead of running like a stick that takes a little bit longer, they had lifting beam hanging from the crane and they had a pulley system.
Right.
And they were just pulling them up and it was faster, significantly faster.
Steve said he didn't like that.
It's like 15
well,
seconds.
Well, I think they, he was referencing 15 seconds to get them from the bottom end of the tank.
That's cool.
But I think as he hadn't gotten to this arrangement, so we're pretty good. What they had was for stabilizing, so the beam's not swinging, they had it tied to the hand.
Right.
So we were just talking about putting the davit there. Yeah. They could do the same thing, swing it over, put it right in the tank.
Right.
I think it would be quite a bit faster.
Okay, well then that hasn't been done yet. Because what he told me was that this, I asked that question because I didn't really like the idea of running up the stairs. And he said, well, this works best, on that. So.
I think,
two
things have happened since then. So
we need to
before we get some of the photos too from that, but it'd be similar setup, and just it would be tied off to the handrail.
Well, the data idea sounds good because that's fast.
Yeah, and it's we could likely mount the play on the outside of the handrail, so it's not an issue for anything safety wise, and the swing. So
right.
It should be quick.
Yeah. Okay.
And I didn't like the idea of them actually running up and down.
Yeah, I know.
Which are difficult anyway.
Right. Trip on that fish. Okay. As soon as the fish goes sliding.
I saw him operate it on Tuesday, and it was pretty fast. I don't know if it was a davit or just a rope. It was just the pulling it up.
Yeah.
and dumped it.
Probably. Yeah, that doesn't have video of that as well.
Right. So.
Yeah. Brian's not a video. Folks want to see it. It's pretty.
It's on YouTube. It's on the website.
Not on YouTube.
Right next to the boat.
Okay. Well, that's new information then. So good.
So is this the final year for the study?
Yeah, we will focus down the road on this issues we have on the study. You know.
Okay, it's going into the notes that this is the final year. I don't have peer requests now.
Well, it's the final year for this particular
thing. She's learning to be a researcher in the system now. This was just the first task.
Okay, so let's talk about the hydrofoil at the corner collector. There's a page 5, if you have a page number in your agenda, I can throw it out there. Or if you handwritten page numbers on your agenda like I did, it's on page 6.
Yeah.
Does anybody have page numbers, by the way?
Page 14 has one. Everybody should have that, right?
Okay. Anyway, so there is a list of tasks here, and I don't know who's reporting on this. Do you guys have anything?
All I have is what's been requested of us. If they didn't get contract, I think, as quickly as they hoped. So Jack Sands came back and said they'd like to bump it from June of this year to March of next year, same general plan.
This thing doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's just kind of a...
I read through it, and it just doesn't make any sense. So, this is Ryan...
Why is that here?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, for...
It doesn't make sense.
There's several things. One of them, in task 6, they intend to look at evaluating horizontal vertical distribution of smolts passing the corner collector. This is March 1 through April 7, what fish? Because we have very few fish moving at that time, so what are you going to have? You get down to task 8, it says...
So you need to, for that task, you need to have some hydrogen fish.
What good is that going to do for horizontal vertical distribution? It hasn't said anything except what a particular hatchery might. I mean, it could be spring creek fish, and they'd all go through in a certain way. That doesn't reflect what river run fish would do. They might be performed to steelers and chinook. Or, you know, there's a whole lot of questions there as to what they're trying to determine. You get to task 8, and it says that this pit tank system will not be installed while they're doing the work between May 9th or April 9th and May 10th. And then, so it's not installed, and then they're talking about in task 9, also in task 8 they're going to remove it, which doesn't make any sense because now that's in September, but then on May 11th we're going to run it again, only this time we're going to have the detector in place, but we're not going to be putting that detector in place in the middle of May, I'll tell you that right now. So there's a whole lot of things here that just don't really add up to me, and I think we need to have a discussion about the syntax of operation. And plus the other issue was if the idea was to run this thing with the detector in, the detector out, and they're going to do two big blocks, those are different populations of fish. And so determining vertical and horizontal distribution of fish in those two blocks and comparing them doesn't work for me. So you need a block design to do that. And that means you can be able to thing in and out through the season. Or, you know, what are we trying to determine? So what are the goals? Do we really need to have vertical and horizontal distribution? I mean, I know that we'd like to know what the effect is on fish of this, or are we just trying to do a physical test to make sure this thing actually works?
Aren't you just looking for efficiency, and that's what you would be using?
Yeah, right. So that would be very acoustics. Well. Or you could just, you could actually run droves through for that.
Well, and maybe that is something for them to consider. This, you know, this seems like it's an update to FPOM, but it seems like some of your questions really need to go back to the fitter.
I know. This isn't, well, we need Ryan or Jack or
whoever's the lead on this thing.
But so the question would be, I thought we were putting it in Bonneville because they didn't have time to get something built to put at Lower Granite. And now it's delayed, so why can't they just do it at Lower Granite?
It's easier to do it at the corner collector as a prototype. Right.
easier for everyone else.
It's not only
we're
easier,
not even sure if it'll work.
It's more easier to control
kind of getting feasibility ideas on it.
Right, it wasn't
whether it's feasible, whether we want to go the extra mile and doing a prototype at Granite is the RSW.
It was the risk, really. It was
in the size.
It wasn't so much ease as it was the risk. Doing it at Granite would risk a lot of fish. Doing it at Corner Collector, you know, it's a small portion of the fish that pass through the line of the dam.
I don't see it that we're going to answer all the questions about it.
You're
just
right.
Some of the questions.
Right. So I think, you know, I mean, we support doing it, but I look at this and it just raises more questions than.
Well, you need to be involved in when we go back and talk to them, Gary, and in designing this test plan. Oh. You need to be right there at the table.
I have been all along.
Well, so,
no, this is new.
Coming out with all of this.
Yeah, this is all new. None of us have seen this. So this is something.
But you have.
Yeah,
so, I mean, this is their straw man.
I mean, I've been involved in every step of this.
Did everybody really go like this, or did everybody go like this? Everybody went like this. Go back to the drawing board and talk about it.
Yeah. So this straw man. This is something new. We haven't seen it before. It just came out. We're just seeing it today. And all I'm saying is that looking through it, it just doesn't make sense to me. So we need to have whoever wrote it.
Let's get a conference call in the next couple of weeks and make some progress on that.
I don't know. You know, we have.
Yeah, it looks like we got some time on since we're not talking about doing
anything
until next year. So I don't know.
Can you put it on July Fitter Week for Walla Walla?
Let me check.
Oh, I would hope so. I'm sure they are. Yeah.
Is that when your next meeting is?
July 25th and 26th.
Or you need something earlier?
Well, it just depends on whoever's writing this, whether they feel like they need something earlier. It's Jack or Ryan, I don't know.
It probably has to, it's going to have to do with their contract and lead time and stuff like that. Where they'll be needing. So, did Jack give this to somebody at Bonneville, or how did this get to Ben?
Not this. I got a call and an email just saying, in general, if we move this to March, can you still, from the project's end of things, is that feasible? And I was like, yeah, the project support portion doesn't change, but I said, you need to talk to FPOM or somebody regionally, because now you're talking March, and likely the corner collector will not open in March.
Right.
So it depends on what you're looking at timing-wise. And
yeah.
I just said there's
new
questions for a different time.
There's a whole bunch of questions that this raises, so.
Ben, who called you?
Jack, Saints.
Okay. Jack Sands?
Yes.
So he's the PM.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the message needs to get back to Jack Sands to send to if he needs a discussion of this before Fitter Week in July, to send out an email to some Fitter Week people, Gary and me and others, to have a conference call about it.
Okay,
we got that. If he needs to move ahead before the next Fitter Week, then he needs to set up a meeting prior to that to resolve it. Otherwise, the next Fitter Week will work.
If he does have time, we need to weigh the considerations right now. I mean, since he does have time, what are the risks of doing a slogan instead of a spawn? I mean, what would the risk be if it fails, if it goes to the RSW? I mean, is there a way that it might...
You know, I really want to put something like this just out of the blue in the flow of the RSW board, Brandon, before
we
get a little more information about it.
Well, we're going to put out in the middle of the flow of the corner collector. I mean, right now we've got June 11 down, June 12 down, so our passes around the module 2 are going to be pretty few and far between.
Let's save this for the meeting.
You guys, why don't you have that a conference call later on, talk about that.
We'll talk about it at the barbecue.
That's right.
I'm pretty wired.
I'm just going to shut you guys off.
Yeah.
My point is that the reason they brought a corner collector was it was very easy, convenient, and quick to do, and they were worried about trying to do something rapidly at Lower Grand. But at the end of it, we have time. I'd rather test it in the location where it's going to be than try to test it in Bonneville. Take what you look for Bonneville, then redesign it for something at Grand. I'd rather do it all at one time at Grand and design the proper structure and prototype that's going to be done, so then do like,
Hey,
Tom,
good points, but this isn't the place.
This is a Fitter Week conversation.
And it's a cost difference, Tom, is what I was told, because I said the same thing, so now you have time.
Well, they also have to shut the RSW down to pull it out. Anytime you pick a crane on RSW, you have to shut the RSW completely down. It's not true on the corner collector, my understanding.
We have a $2.2 million hoist.
We're good. That's right. And we have a $1.1 million tie crane.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can we take a look at it?
1.3, I think. It was 7 when we got to open.
Hey, that's a great idea.
You're done. I just got it.
Thank you.
Are we done?
Yes, you're done.
We have to go do that. Get back to Jack.
Yes, we will talk with Jack, and he can assess his schedule, whether he needs a meeting prior to the next fitter week, depending on how he needs to move forward with this.
All right, so we can move on to 334, which is the 14-inch orifice overflow weir update.
Oh, we already got that.
We already did it?
Yeah, that was...
And then the Ice Harbor fish trap update. What's up with the Ice Harbor adult fish trap?
Were you having an opinion on the trap?
Yeah, Chris,
are
you on the phone there? Chris Pinion?
So, I think the only update is there is still a problem with the lifting device. The jib crane has been insufficient. They're still working on that. And I guess Chris was busy, and if he could call in, he was going to try. It doesn't sound like he's on the phone, so maybe we'll just let that one go. But I think in general, we're not aware that there's any more problems with the trap itself. So the jib crane sort of lifts the trap in and out. So we haven't had any more, as you're aware, any more adult problems. So hopefully they got that solved in the last month.
Yeah, they didn't have to. There was a 5-second delay or something on the jib crane, and that was causing it. The breaker to trip, and they removed the 5-second delay, and so now it doesn't trip anymore. But I don't know what that 5-second delay actually is.
So the concern, like Mark Plummer was concerned, that maybe that suggests that you have insufficient resource there in the long term, and that this is just going to burn itself out over time by turning that off. So maybe you're just short circuiting. You know, it's like wiring something that had something inside.
Safety device in there.
Yeah, and so the project, I believe, is looking at that because they don't want to accept this.
Right.
And
not right.
Have something that immediately needs maintenance a year from now.
And we don't want it to trip out and the fish is halfway up the wall and then you're out wet.
Right. So that, we haven't had any feedback. We asked for that a week ago, a week and a half ago. Is, you know, I encouraged Mark to move forward with that and make sure that it wasn't going to be something that was going to become an immediate liability for us.
And I don't want to hear any more talk about putting this in McNary's area.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's in McNary.
No more talk in your district on that.
Putting the Ice Harbor trap in McNary Dam?
It's in Chris's email. It's like, what?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Chris mentioned he might be able to call around 11, so he might call in a little bit.
Okay.
Well, anyway, I think this is something that, depending on, we can give an update at a later time if we find out. Why don't we just, Tammy, for the notes, leave it that we'll try to update it again either at the next meeting. Right now, it's not anything that we expect to immediately affect us this year. I guess what I heard is that maybe there's some other research now being proposed to use this longer duration this year than what, you know, we originally went back and forth on spring Chinook. You were pretty adamant that it was going to be restricted to the time frame, and then it would
we're
appear.
We're not aware of any of that discussion.
Okay. So that's all stuff that.
Let's see the McNary report.
Yeah, it might be because we're talking about those overlapping steel.
It might be.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Well. Actually, as it turns out, you guys are probably more aware of some of those other forums than we are.
McNary.
But we're pushing. We've asked that research develop their own coordination form similar to FPOM. We've been unsuccessful in getting them to do that, but that is still out there so that it would be a forum, and then we would be willing to post it on the FPOM site. Unfortunately, as simple as that sounds, we're not able, but as stuff falls into our forum, then we are forcing people to coordinate, and stuff that takes place at the project that's within our guise, then we are reporting. We're still working through some of that. That's just a rough edge historically at the district.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move into the RCC update. Lisa.
Okay, the forecast. Yesterday at Little Granite, 24-hour average of 63 KCFS, forecasted day 5 at 48, day 10 down to 41. Mayor yesterday's average was 240, forecast day 5 was 221, day 10 down to 214. Bonneville yesterday averaged 249, 5 days out down to 232, and day 10 down to 226.
That's the forecast.
And maybe a comment that it kind of looks like water temperatures are warming up a little earlier this year as well.
And more days over there. Solar flows.
And this year we'll also likely hit the threshold for removing the little goose spillway weir due to low flows. That hasn't happened since I've been in RTC, but this year it looks like around the beginning of July we'll get below 35 kcfs at goose.
So that'll be coordinated, but yeah, based on existing triggers.
Did you catch that, Bill?
No, what was that?
Sorry.
I couldn't hear.
So what was it you're going to
say? In the MPP, the little goose spillway there.
I still can't hear.
Okay, so Lisa is talking, and she's going to walk up closer to the mic, but it's about the trigger in the fish passage plan for when the spillway weir at Little Goose is removed, and it's a flow trigger.
Yeah, so essentially when observed and forecasted inflows are below 35 kcfs, the FPP trigger is to close the spillway weir. We haven't done that in the past couple of years because flows never really got there, but it looks like this year we will. So, and right now the STP indicates that'll happen in late June, early July time, that we'll get to that 35, below 35 flows. So, so be on the lookout for that.
All right, thanks, Lisa.
All right.
I'll try to pray to the rain gods that we get a little more flows than that.
What's the reason for that, Bill?
Got mentioned my house yesterday.
What?
What's the reason for pulling that weir at 35?
They can't balance the, because they have to fill 30%.
Oh, okay.
The reason for that, for going to that, because it has something to do with the flows coming from Granite, the flows going out of Goose.
It starts blocking adults.
The TSW starts running the tail race.
Ben's out there.
He is, and that eddy over there along the powerhouse just starts driving a problem.
I think it has something more to do with running powerhouse unit on and off.
There's dead bands at Lovell and Little Goose that interact together, but this one's just because there's too much water going through the flows get low enough, there's too much water going through the TSW. That's all you're running, and you get the eddy forming, and you can't maintain your 30%. You're putting too much water out, you're blocking adults.
Right.
I don't think it's for adults myself. I think it has to do more with just a unit coming on and off, and then something also. So that's a movement up at Granite for transport, for entering the lock and getting the. The barge not having enough depth.
That may be part of it. So, Bill, I think the thing that you know, unit all in on, that's a low low, and we're the 17K hard cap. When you get to a certain low flow, it's hard to keep the 17K, you basically just slow bounce around, you have to turn the unit all in on. So, that's when we start doing that operation where we basically keep 17 at a certain time, and then we drop. We increase or decrease it accordingly. We worked on that one thing with Sean Milligan.
Yeah. Well, remember about number two at Goose having to go off and on in a particular range, and they were trying to avoid that too.
Yeah, it could be. I think I don't remember if Goose was fixed with you or not.
But something about station was that you know how it was going. The water was going up and down.
Yeah, I think the point of the update is we're going to have lower flows than we've had in several years. So,
but see, we've never had any adult problems, adult passage problems when flows get down into that range. That's why I don't really believe this was for adults.
Okay. I think it's mostly just Taylor's Eddie. It's more of a concern for juvenile conflict that you basically have this one
you had a big flow come out of the KSW, and that was pretty much almost 30% of the flow was just the KSW. Basically, just getting back on something, there was concern that was not the best thing for journals.
Well, we're going to have an opportunity to test this, so
actually, we're
stay
not,
tuned.
We dealt with the performance test by the time we hit 35K, so we won't even know that.
No.
It would be good if we ran the test longer.
It would.
Talk about.
Yeah, let's put the test off a little bit.
Hey, we're testing. Hey, Glenn, were you asking about that?
Where are you guys at today?
Yeah.
Well,
why don't you two just go have a conversation on your own? All right? You guys can get off the phone and have your own conversation.
We were educating you guys.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I feel like it.
What happened to the Nozzle 75 pentagram?
I think you were not on the phone yet, Tom. I gave that update earlier because we. Couldn't get consensus from both yourself and/or Idaho. We decided to not move ahead and collect that data point, so that operation did not occur.
Well, you had consensus. We said you could do it. We just gave you a way to keep the spill volume whole for the year, and you guys didn't agree with that. So I wouldn't say all on us. I would say we gave you an out. You guys didn't like our out. We didn't like yours. So I would say it was a regional consensus. I wouldn't say it's because we wouldn't agree with you guys. You guys also didn't agree with us.
Yeah, no problem. I guess when I said it earlier, basically we said, you know, for us to do anything adaptive management, we try to get consensus wherever possible. And then number two, we had some legal obligations that we felt were threatened if we went ahead with it, and that risk was not worth it at this point in time. So,
say your legal obligation, but I'm curious to see what legal obligations you guys felt were in jeopardy.
Well, I think to answer that, Tom, it was the concerns that you raised primarily. I don't have anything in writing. We did have to elevate this decision because at the time, you know, when we exchanged emails, we talked about which how many sub-yearlings, et cetera, and where they were. And then the issue you brought up was, you know, would we possibly be jeopardizing spill passage efficiency that was a legal obligation inside the fishing courts?
If that's how you guys want to think what I said, that's awesome, because that's not what I was going with. But hey, it sounds better than what I heard now, so I'll go with that.
Well, Tom, I kind of felt bad that we didn't get that data point, but then thinking about it more, you know, I can't see us ever having a condition of 75 KCFS in the river and not spilling.
That was one of my points, yeah.
And so I think we can cite the downfall without that data.
I just don't want to get blamed for the reason why things didn't work out, and it was, I would say it was...
Would have been nice to have.
Yes, I think we had a path forward and we just chose not.
Yes.
For a reason that was not gone down. Okay, cool. Thank you, Ed.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Pinnipet update. I think it's pretty much a wrap.
Yeah, the only thing to add is a second trap has been put upstream of Bonneville. It's just upstream of Stevenson in the cold area.
Because there's three individuals above still.
Yeah, three, four, whatever. Yeah, we don't know.